As you know, food security is a huge concern for Hawaii. We're continually told we import 80 to 90% of what we need to feed ourselves. In a small and finite space, farming smarter could get a boost from a relatively new agricultural technology platform. According to the startup Smart Yields, its intuitive and customizable mobile app will give farmers, indoor growers, and gardeners real-time information, trends and forecasts, and recommendations. And something else comes along with this app, the blessing of the Pope. Lead founder and CEO Vincent Kimura dropped by our studio earlier, and we talked about what he says is what we all need to do to increase our own food security.
First and foremost, we all need to grow. We all need to have green thumbs, everyone, be it from our children, obviously our future children and whatnot. And part of the challenge that we wanted to face and solve is how can we get non-traditional farmers to get interested in agriculture or interested in growing, be it, you know, someone at home with a small little home garden, someone at school learning about biology and plants and whatnot, but obviously to our farming community. So the majority of the world's farmers are small to medium size. It's actually 99% of them. And yet 99% of them have had, you know, lack of data and lack of technology adoption. So fortunately, the corn, wheat, soy, and a lot of the bigger farms have a lot of technology adoption. But when you look at the barriers to entry, which are mostly hardware-driven and also connectivity-driven, it's a big challenge.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because for a farmer that may be far away from any sort of internet connection, what do you do to be able to have that data continually growing and updating and available in real time to someone if they're, you know, out in the hinterland?
Yeah. Well, broadband access is a big issue for the government, and so they've appropriated quite a bit of money to broadband in rural areas. You know, we saw this connectivity issue first and foremost when we started out with some of our early betas on the Big Island. And simply when you scale from 10 sensors to 100 or 200 sensors, it's just not cost effective. So that feasibility from the financial sense is really the biggest challenge we faced in getting this technology out to the small farmer. So we've been luckily looking outside the box at Hawaii and looked across the pond and even across the world. So we've been adopting different technologies that have been really kind of opening up things in the innovative space for IoT, which is the Internet of Things in smart cities. So I'm a big fan of not reinventing the wheel here. So how can we take great technologies that have worked in one sector and see if it can work in the oldest industry in the world?
So what did you apply from what you'd learned elsewhere that would be specifically applicable to a farmer, and particularly a small farmer?
So first and foremost, it's, as I said, the financial sustainability, feasibility is the biggest issue. So, you know, focusing on what is the end goal? Is it just the data? And that was one of the first things we realized. And you know, I'm a big fan of the design thinking methodology of, you know, failing fast, failing often, failing early. So we realized that, you know, just showing data on a dashboard added zero insights to the farmer, especially a small farmer, because
if you don't understand it, what does
exactly,
it mean?
Exactly, exactly. So they don't have agronomists or plant physiologists on there. Their knowledge base is our agricultural extension agents who, they're, you know, God bless them, they work tirelessly to help these small farmers with providing information and intelligence and just best practices.
What do you have them do to gain some sense of comfort with all of this? Because I can imagine a farmer who says, I know what I'm doing and I know how to do it well, but that might be a little scary.
You know, when we started off, to address your question, is, you know, we kind of talked to them about yields and whatnot. And every farmer I met was like, well, what are you going to tell me about how I do it? And, you know, how I do it well. And we learned early on, it's like, we don't really bring that up. So, but we like to talk and learn. So first and foremost, obviously, we come at it from a very educational, a lifelong learner perspective. And, you know, what are your pain points? How do you do things? You know, what, no farmer is the same as another. You know, each one has their own little recipe. And that's really what we focus on. You know, there's different ways of how folks do things and figuring out how you adopt the technology and adapt the technology into their current procedures and infrastructures. And the one thing that they're all looking for is how to maximize, I guess, the effectiveness. Because the biggest thing they're looking for is to reduce, you know, big cost items like labor or water or fertilizers and maybe even chemicals and pesticides.
While they're increasing their yield.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I just got back from Colorado, and one of our early adopters there, who's a big peach and orchard gentleman out there and right near Grand Junction, you know, he adopted our technology, and it was fascinating to learn about what he had done using it. And, you know, back in early, about May, they had this crazy late frost. And as one farmer explained it to us, they had seen June temperatures, but in February. So what happened is the plants thought it was springtime. So they started flowering and fruiting. And then all of a sudden, this major late frost hit the region.
And there went that crop.
Oh, yes. 50 to 90% of their crop. And it was terrible. But I think the interesting thing that we see is climate change is happening. Climate change is changing everything all around the world. And one individual kind of mentioned, it's like, well, you're kind of updating the Farmer's Almanac, aren't you? Because you're kind of throwing that out, and it's no longer relevant today.
It's funny that you bring that up, because for such a long time, there's been that tried and true reliance on something because it has had the longevity and proof of time. But now, because things are changing, how do you hedge your bets if you're a farmer and you may or may not have some of that information? And how does your technology help a farmer who is trying to cope?
You know, I've kind of mentioned this before to folks. It's, you know, all we really do is knowledge share. It's about education, first and foremost. And it's about aligning, you know, the world's leading agricultural institutions together with the most innovative farmers, especially the small farmers together, because, you know, we've got to feed another 3 billion mouths, and it's going to be kind of tough to do it in 30 years, especially since we have a billion people starving. So first and foremost, explaining to them that there's a bigger issue here, that we're all collectively working together, and that trust factor with working with farmers is the most important, you know, gaining their trust, and really allowing them and encouraging them to try something new. You obviously find those early adopters out there who, you know, will always be innovators in this space. But, you know, it's the other thing, too, is how we can build a community. And that's one thing that I've really been talking a lot of folks, especially in the non-agricultural sector. So working with the NGOs of the world, working with obviously our governments, local, state, and federal. And I explain to them that, you know, it's about workforce development and it's about community development. Smart Yields is the glue that brings the data together. You know, we created a mobile app, and we just thankfully released our app in the App Store about a month ago. And we've got a pretty amazing team of individuals who are very passionate about solving some of the hardest global challenges out there.
So how do you begin to move through all of that geopolitical sludge where you have so many conflicting interests, and yet we still have the bottom line of having to feed an increasing population?
I think the fascinating thing I've realized about 3-4 months ago is that it's definitely a multi-stakeholder approach. We have to get buy-in from the top and from the bottom. Being that it's obviously a complicated problem to solve, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why we're really excited about being part of the Laudato Si' Challenge. You know, Pope Francis is probably one of the most remarkable individuals who's ever really kind of steered the Catholic Church. And, you know, as one person said, you know, they don't deal in years or decades. They deal in eternity. So being...
Or at least millennia.
Yeah, millennia. So being one of the largest kind of landowners in the world globally, they are all about community development and all about, you know, helping. Really, it's development equals peace, which is what Pope John Francis II said. So I'm not Catholic, but they're very embraced. Racing about bringing together all these different individuals. And they challenged the venture capital community as well as the startup community to not just focus on profits, focus on the social impact. So interesting enough, last week they announced they are now an official social impact investor, which is pretty interesting.
We're going to wait and see how all of this plays out, but I wish you all the best with it. A lot of hungry bellies will be depending upon how well we're able to feed ourselves here in Hawaii and around the world.
Thank you so much for that.
Vincent Kimura is the lead founder and CEO of Smart Yields. The Hawaii-based ag tech startup brings smart farming benefits to small and medium-sized farms. He was named Ag Entrepreneur of the Year by the Hawaii Venture Capital Association, and last year was among the Pacific Business News 40 Under 40 to Watch.